listen to Shell's Good Taste from birth to present next week.
Hold on. Welcome to the Tweezle Show. That is Andrea Gillis with Hold Your Maker. I have adapter in the studio, but I'm going to play them first and then we're going to talk. 91.5 WMFO.
Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
.5 WMFO. That's Desk.
Yeah, they're all right.
What was that?
Said they're all right.
Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
The drummer sucks.
Ugh. Yeah, well, I didn't want to say anything on the air, but, you know, That's going to happen. We have adapter here. Oh, wait a minute. Is it one word, adapter?
There is no space in the name.
There is no space and two capital A's.
Two capital A's and no space. Oh, geez. All right. They have a new record out called Redeemer. And did you just play your CD release party or is it coming up?
No, yeah, we just played it last Thursday at Firehouse 13.
Yeah, and you couldn't book last week because David Began was here.
That jerk.
Yes. Oh, but by the way, you could dial 855-915-WMFO. That is 855-915-9636. Todd, if you want to give Jim crap.
Well, you can call in now, or is that?
Yeah, you could call in.
Wow.
You could call in. I mean, yeah, there's things on the console here that can take phone calls.
Some wizardry,
yeah,
on the board there.
Some newfangled stuff.
Can we just put people on hold? Like they can call in, but we just put them on hold.
We could probably do that, and then we could taunt them, and nobody can hear their retort. Is that is that something you would like to do?
We don't
Nick?
Want your opinions on our music.
Yeah, it's got to be Spanish Flea as the hold music.
Spanish Flea?
Yeah, Herb Alpert's.
Oh, okay.
You would know it if you heard.
I'm not in that kind of mode when I'm on the air doing a show like this. I'm not even thinking of Herb Alpert. But yes, they have a new record called Redeemer. They're here to play a bunch of tracks on the air and play some of their friends.
Ukulele Horror Records.
Ukulele Horror Records. Okay. Is it ukulelehorrorrecords.com?
Something like that. There is a store website for them. I don't know the address.
We should have brought Chuck with us. All questions must go through Chuck.
Hang on. Chuck the Wolfman. I'm going to look at it right now.
Look up Chuck Wolfman Chuck and ukulele
horror. BigCartel.com.
Indeed.
You could look up your band name, Adapter, one word. And all three EPs are there. And my phone's going crazy.
Oh, come on, Phil.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm
yeah, if you said, you'd be
silent.
You'd be surprised how many people can't find us just because they don't leave that space
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
You know?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it would be such a heel to not have the space there, but.
Well, I gotta say, you're in our database as two separate words.
Aww. Well.
Which is funny because, like, when you type stuff in online, you don't put a space. Like, you just type
well,
in an address.
Well, I mean,
as
if it's
word,
two
but.
Words.
It's just funny how that worked out for us.
I mean.
Well, our Facebook handle is AdapterAdapterOfficial.
Right, okay.
And that's all one word.
Well, that's a
we just
that's
don't
a
like
URL.
Spaces.
Yeah,
that's a URL. So
spaces
everything is
stupid.
One word when it's a URL. I mean, but it, I mean, it could have totally been ADAP, TerraDap-er. Three words. Could have totally
cool.
been that.
I think we should change the band name to that.
Spelled the exact same way. You know that.
TerraDap.
You know the emphasis on a different syllable. You know, kind of thing. And anyway, all right. So, you're here to talk about Redeemer, or is all of us in Boston say Redeema?
Redeema, yeah. The new Adapta album, Redeema.
Wow.
On ukulele horror.
Yes. So, what was the inspiration behind this one, as opposed to Let's Alive, the last record?
She's alive.
Sorry.
It's alive.
It is alive.
I only make mistakes when I'm on the air, dude. I know all this crap, and then we go on the air, everything in my brain goes out the window.
Well, funny story. Most of the songs on this new album are already pretty much written right when we put out the old one.
Yeah, just about.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think it happens that way with a lot of bands. You're always kind of like a record behind because you record an album and it takes months and months to do this and that, and by the time it's out, you already are kind of looking forward to the next one. But I do remember we wrote two of the songs on this one while we were in the studio recording the last one. But you kind of get some inspiration being in the studio anyway, and even doing this one, I worked up a couple of new ones on the side that
for the next one or
yeah, pretty much.
Well, I mean, you could have a different project like Jim does.
Mm.
No.
it's funny. It's never really occurred to me, like, even having the studio available. I kind of like to put my mind into one thing, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I think if you spread yourself too thin, you might end up doing things that a couple of years later you're like, why was I wasting my time doing that?
Ah. Well, something tells me Jim got roped into desk, so.
I went down the rabbit hole and... Yeah,
there you go. There's some fodder for you, Todd, to come in and call and, you know, rag out Jim.
Did Todd tell you he's listening? Is Todd even listening? Todd, are you out there? Todd, are you out there?
Todd is always listening to us.
Yeah, he really is. Todd's like
Todd is a big fan of the show, and I play Down City Armory a lot, and
we played with them back in the day too.
Well, yeah. back in the day, you've been a band for what, 2.5 years?
2.5, but it's been a busy 2.5.
It really has.
I mean, but how far is back in the day really?
Well, I guess when you work quick. I mean, yeah, we had our first EP recorded before our fourth week as a band, I think.
Okay.
Things happened very, very quickly.
Yeah,
there was no awkward, like, 6-month startup phase where it's like some guys trying to figure out what they're gonna do, then maybe we'll play a show, maybe we'll do this. It was kind of like, I'm doing this and we're gonna do this together, and it fell into place very, very quickly.
Nick had me try out. He was like, you're gonna come to this pizza place and you're gonna play the tambourine.
Yeah,
you're not gonna say anything.
It's true. I made him play the tambourine
at a pizza place.
Yeah, we should also mention that we're a duo.
Yeah,
we're a duo.
Well, I was gonna
band members.
You're the only two band members.
Well, except for Nick's split personality. But,
right. Yeah. Okay. Well, what about your split person? Oh, wait a minute. That's the guy
ones.
In desk.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Jimmy Paul.
Yeah, I'm Jimmy Paul.
Jimmy Paul. Yes. No. So. I mean, yeah, you mentioned that you worked quickly, so what made you decide on a duo type project rather than, you know, getting a bass player or a slide player or something like that?
Well, my idea initially was to start a full band.
Okay.
And I really just wanted to be a blues harmonica player singer, and I've been trying to do that for a little while and just not being able to get in with anything on a regular basis. And I finally was just, my uncle basically convinced me to just do it myself, and it hit me pretty hard. And I came up with a band name and booked a show, which that my uncle was putting together, and I ended up doing a couple of shows as a one-man band where I would make audience members play whatever they could play to help my show out. So I usually had somebody on tambourine, but on one occasion I actually got like a father and son to play guitar, and I just sang and played harmonica. So initially the name kind of meant more like it's gonna change, like adapter, as in like it would pretty much be me and whoever. And then
okay.
I had the idea to record the EP with Jimmy, basically thinking that if I had recordings, it would be easier to recruit other band members.
And generally, that is the rule.
Yeah. And by the time we were done with it, it was kind of like, maybe we should just stay like this. And we kind of, I think we molded over for a bit, but after doing a couple of more shows, it really didn't seem like we needed somebody else.
For our first actual show together, we actually had a bassist.
Okay.
So shout out to Ian Cannon, who was the only bassist to ever play with adapter.
Pretty much, because back then we were still kind of going on the anyone can be in it, and we played a few songs, and a guy in the audience was like, I play bass, and we were like, all right, and we actually let him play the rest of our set with us. But he's the only person to ever play bass on stage with us.
Okay. What was I trying to say? When you had those shows where anyone was playing, were you just doing traditional blues stuff, or were you doing your own thing and say, hey, this is an E, and go?
Well, I guess a little bit of both. I mean, I kind of come from like metal and punk as a background,
okay.
And I really, really tried to do the bluesiest, most traditional thing I could to start, and would do a lot of standards, but when we did our EP, that was kind of me getting to listen to it for the first time, and it still was a lot heavier, and there were still a lot of other influences. It still wasn't, like, totally pure, but at that point, I kind of realized it wasn't really a bad thing to have your own thing and to not sound so old-fashioned, I guess.
When we first started, I mean, the scale is definitely flipped to the other end of the spectrum, because when we started, we had maybe, a handful of original songs, and we'd play all kinds of blues standards and covers,
and we averaged very low sets.
Yeah, we barely play any covers.
We would do, like, two-hour sets where we'd only play, like, three or four original songs, and...
Well, that's not the case anymore.
No. Not at all.
Hey.
Now we have too much material. But, like, oh, what are we going to play tonight?
Yeah, it's... Well, that's what I mean, is even, like, at our first show, I think the first show we played in a club, we played 19 songs, so it was, like, we had a lot of material, like, from the very beginning.
Wow. You so had 19 like songs, been, or you just played 19 songs? Like
we I played mean, 19.
Okay, so like you dug into the Robert Johnson and all that and that type of stuff.
Well,
right?
I can't play like him, but we were doing a lot of old standards, and then like we kind of slipped in our originals almost as covers, kind of. But at the same time, a lot of people aren't necessarily familiar with every single blues standard, and even the ones we still do a few in our set on average, but most people can't tell. A lot of people tend to think we're doing all original music, it seems.
Yeah, Fixin' to Die is from what, 1940?
Yeah, it's from the 40s, and we still play it very, very frequently.
Well, there you go. All right, so speaking of originals, which track shall I play off of Redeemer to start this block?
I might as well do Redeemer.
Yeah, you can play the title
Redeemer.
Track.
Yep.
All right. This is Redeemer.
Off Redeemer.
From Adapter. One word. 91.5 WMFO.
Kind of love. memory for a girl like you. I crawl out of my grave, a pendulum dangles from my hands, the flames of air. You know I love a fan, cause I came back for you, baby. You know the devil in me, he's got an interest in you. He's got an interest in you. He'll make a slave out of you, but you know that now we're two. But far from pure.
your friends were once strangers. Stop being afraid, they'll lead you alive. Plastic men read magazines and scriptures. You're covered in grief, but I bet you taste nice.
91.5 WMFO. That's Adapta Adapta. She's alive.
Adapta.
I figured I'd play the title track from the last record since we started the block off with the title track from your current record, Redeemer. So how is the songwriting process with you guys since you guys work so quickly? That, I mean, this is your third record in 2.5 years. So.
Damn, we crank them out.
Yeah. Like, what's your writing process like?
Honestly, it's very natural a lot of the time. I'll either have something that I have mostly put together, either like riffs and lyrics, or I'll just have one or the other, and it'll basically be, let's jam on it. And it might, there might even be like more instruction or less instruction, but there are. The funny thing with that song, She's Alive, we played that through the first time we ever played it. It was literally like, play a beat like this, and then I went until we stopped. And then it was like, all right, we'll work on the ending, but we pretty much had it. But I mean, it ended up being the title track, and it came together in like 5 minutes or something like that.
Wow.
But some of our songs have taken almost no time, and some of them have been a little more of a pain.
A lot of times Nick will show up and go, I had an idea for the drum part, and I'll go, well, I'm doing the exact opposite of what you asked me to do.
It's true. I tend to think more in rhythms, though, anyway. I think okay. Maybe with him as a drummer, and I came from playing bass, and I did play drums growing up, but even when I write songs, I tend not to necessarily write with a melody idea or even like some kind of hook idea. I tend to write a song like, what kind of beat can I hear in my brain that's going to make me want to play this riff? So I do tend to write with rhythms more in mind than almost anything else. So I guess I can be a stickler about the drums.
Yeah, I don't usually listen to them anyway, though.
Well, usually you write
songs on the drums? What?
He'll usually do something. Well, usually I'll have a general idea, and I will say he's good at usually covering what I want in my general idea, but kind of expanding on it in another way that brings you, it might bring something more out of me, because it's like, oh, well, I didn't really expect that. But so I think we do like kind of feed off of each other a little bit.
Okay.
Certain ideas kind of become things that are only partial ideas, become like whole concepts, I guess, when we play together.
Yeah, I was gonna say he writes all the lyrics and all of that, and then he'll come up with a riff idea, like you said, and he'll come in and I mean, I kind of help with the arrangement side of things, as far as, you know, all right, well, let's play this verse, you know, for 8 measures instead of 4, or things like that. Or, hey, let's do a stop here.
Yeah, a lot of times we do have a lot of starts and stops, which is a lot of people don't notice. We start and stop constantly. But it is like I said, a kind of rhythmic thing. Like, I'll be playing and Jimmy might just choke a cymbal, and then it's, oh, let's put a stop there and really gang. We tend to gang up on the notes, even though there's only two of us.
Right. Mm. And I mean, because...
Go ahead. Well, I think we seem more together because of that. Like, a lot of people always, I don't know, they seem to think we're tighter than we really are. I think it's just
an illusion.
I think it's the sheer amount of starts and stops. When you nail them all together every time, though, I think, of course, you're going to sound together if you're always starting and stopping at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing, well, I know I try to do, based off of what he's doing on the guitar, when he's playing more higher register things on the guitar, I'll do more kind of tom-oriented things to kind of fill out that low end.
Okay.
Because we don't have a bassist.
There's no bass.
Do you play bass on the recordings?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you fill out that sound live?
With the toms.
We just do it. Well, that's like kind of the funny thing is, on the first EP, the bass has very little presence because I was kind of self-conscious about that. I don't want to have a lot of bass on the record. And then we kind of started to put more and more things on the recordings because live we tend to get by on sheer energy, I think.
Okay.
But very, very few people have ever told us to get a bass player. It happened like a few times the first couple of shows we played, and then I tweaked my amp tone a little bit. And I don't know. I think with the guitar and the amp and the tone of everything we have, we do have a lot of low end when we play live.
Okay. Well, that... I mean, it, sometimes it's that's all it takes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the other thing, too, is we're very loud.
Yeah, we are loud.
Which is, like, sometimes people ask us to play, like, oh, do you want to play a show with these acoustic acts? And we're like, you sure?
You really get acoustic shows?
As a duo, the thing about being in a duo is people's preconceived notions, like, they run a crazy wild gamut when they see a band with two people. Like, it's very, very strange. A lot of the people just assume we're not going to do anything. It's weird. We have done multiple shows. Like, we have ended up on a lot of shows where it's like, oh, I got a bill that's all duos. And then we're the only duo that has
that
drums and an amp.
Oh.
Or it's happened to us a lot. We've been told we were too loud, but at the same time, a lot of time most people don't complain once we start playing.
We played in Nashville at an open mic, and at the beginning of the night,
it was kind of an open mic. You need to sign up 2 weeks. You need to sign up 2 weeks in advance.
What?
No, 2 weeks. So we show up, and I'm like, oh, can I at least bring my bass drum in to do, like, you know, just some kick drum? And we brought the guitar amp in too. And as soon as we got on the stage, the woman running the sound was like, nope, plug the guitar direct into the DI, and you're gonna play the tambourine. So it was clean electric guitar and tambourine.
Yeah. I ended up being the only guy at the whole thing, which must have had like 20 or more different guitarists on it. I was the only person who had an electric guitar. The only one. People were looking at us like we had two heads. But we do have two heads.
Well, I mean, if open mics, I mean, come on.
What was in Nashville, too?
It was cool to be in Nashville.
It was a lot more, like, that's the thing is, I mean, that's Music City. Like, even at an open mic, we had to, like, get on it beforehand, and it was like, it wasn't like you could show up and play. Like, even, we had friends who were touring at the same time, and they were coming into Nashville kind of hoping they'd get on an open mic, and they couldn't even get on anything.
Hmm.
And it was like, we had to sign up in advance to play an open mic. It was weird. But at the same time,
everybody there is trying to get a publishing deal.
Yeah.
And
well, some of them were already, like, one of the guys we played with that night was the main songwriter for Rascal Flatts, which is kind of weird, because he had hits on the radio in Nashville at that time.
But he wasn't singing them.
No, exactly. He was like a songwriter who performed under his own, like, it was a songwriter's convention. I think that's what it was called.
Dude, you just blew up Rascal Flatts' spot. Way to go. Getting letters from their lawyers.
Oh, jeez.
We played with that guy what wrote the songs.
Oh, God. That's the last thing you need, having Nashville on your butt. Oh, boy. Anyway, which tune shall we play next off of Redeemer?
The new one?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot all the song names already.
I'll Be Damned is probably fine.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. I'll Be Damned. 91.5.
Darned.
I'll Be Darned. 91.5 WMFO.
Man, God, survival is just something I don't need. Attention, just act like you don't care. I tell you I love you, you don't wanna know. Well, I tell all your friends, but they're just part of the show, yeah. Well, that's alright, my heart is doing fine. Maybe you'll love me when I'm done wasting my time. But oh, how I need you, yeah. So bad, so bad, yeah. Now and then you say we should be friends. Well, I thought that was over, but hey, let's try it again. Don't wanna be mean, but I can be unkind. Cause I'm equipped with a quiver straight down my spine, yeah. Well, that's alright, my heart is doing fine. Maybe you'll love me when I'm done wasting my time. So